It is good for us to be here. So many of us, you know, we're not all exactly alike. We may not see every aspect of life the same way our neighbor does, but yet we are here together as one family, as united in the Lord. And along those veins, I would like to share with you this morning Psalm 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. For those of us who are God's children, we are promised life forevermore. God has commanded it for us, and so we worship him.
Good morning. Let's all stand together as we sing our first hymn. Number 458, if you're using your songbook. 458. Let us sing. Sweet.
Thank you. bow in reverence to God. Our most gracious and righteous Heavenly Father, the giver and the sustainer of life, Lord, we realize how blessed we are, how you bless us each day, but especially Heavenly Father, the blessing of our Lord and Savior that left the splendors of heaven and came to this earth, lived a perfect life. When he could have called 10,000 angels, he loved us so that he was willing to give that life. He rose again the third day, and he's given us a promise if we become children of yours that we can live with him forever. Heavenly Father, help us to never take even the smallest blessing for granted. We pray, Heavenly Father, at this time for the ones that's been mentioned in Daily Focus that we're aware of that are fighting health issues. We realize, Heavenly Father, when we lose even a small portion of our health, how blessed we really are to have it. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the lesson given today by Tim, and help us, Heavenly Father, that realize that your word is a guide to us. It gives us encouragement and strength, teaches us how to live, how to treat others, but teaches us most of all to love one another. Heavenly Father, we at this time pray for the prison ministry that carry on here, the ministry that's carried on here throughout even the world, Heavenly Father, and thank you for the ladies and men that are willing to sacrifice their time. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll always strive to put you first in each and everything we do, but also realizing, Heavenly Father, we fall short, and we realize your word tells us if we admit those failures, you're just to forgive them. Heavenly Father, we pray for those that are not your children. Help them to realize, Heavenly Father, that that soul that inhabits this body is the most precious gift that was ever given to mankind. We were responsible for it. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that within the sound of these voice, that people realize how important it is to be one of your children. Heavenly Father, now as we go into the worship service, we pray that we dismiss anything that might be of a worldly nature to concentrate on your word. We thank you that you've left us that word. We ask, Heavenly Father, that we'll always be a shining example to others that we live with, others that we associate with on a daily basis. They realize that we are separate from the world. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you're using the hymn book and would like to mark the song of invitation, it will be 903, number 903. The song before the lesson will be number 517. 517, Heaven Came Down. If you'd like to stand once again, you may. 517. After this, we'll have the scripture reading and the lesson.
Oh, Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning will come from Matthew 6, verses 7 through 13. Matthew 6, verses 7 through 13. I will be reading from the New King James Version. "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
If you have young children and we're waiting for a moment to take them to children's training class, this is now. So I suspect most of them have already gone on, but just in case. What a blessing it is to be together again on this Lord's Day, a beautiful Lord's Day. It's always really nice when the sun is shining, and especially after a rainy week. And we're so glad to be together because God is the one who gives us sunlight, not only outside, but especially inside. And through Jesus Christ, his Son, we can enjoy that no matter what the weather is outside. So we're very glad to be together. We're very glad you are with us today. We have a number of people visiting with us, as we often do, and we're glad you're with us. We hope that you'll be able to worship and find this a helpful time. And if we can be of assistance to you in any way, please let us know. We'll be glad to do whatever we can to help you. But we are very thankful that you are here with us today. Glad for all of you that are worshiping with us online as well. I know there are several that worship with us online, and very happy for that. We wish you could be here with us, and maybe that time will come. But until that time, we're glad that you have joined us in this way. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock to worship God. And right now it's looking very likely that we'll worship outside. We did it last week for the first time in a while, and it was so nice. I've decided we'll do it again. Since I'm preaching, I get to do that. But we would love for you to come and join us. We will send out an email later in the day and let you know for sure whether that's the case or not. And we will also have the songs that we'll be singing in that service. So be watching for that email. And if you're worshiping online, you'll need those songs, since I don't know that we'll be able to broadcast the songs as a slide. But come out and join us. It's going to be a good time again to be together, inside or out. And we'd love for you to join us. We're sad today to have to say goodbye to folks that we have had as part of our family. We mentioned not long ago that the Horsleys are going to be moving away, and today is their last time to be with us for morning worship. Wade and Leanne, already forgetting you, Leanne, sorry about that. But they're moving to Texas, where she's going to take over the nursing program at Texas A&M University. We're happy for that opportunity for her, but we're going to miss you guys. And where are you? Raise your hand so people, there they are, back toward the back. So be sure to say goodbye. They'll probably be here this evening, I'm guessing, but we'll miss them. And I found out, too, that Amanda, who's been with us for a while as a college student, is leaving. She's going to UT instead of ETSU to continue her education. And Amanda, we're going to miss you, and glad that we've had that time. This is Wilda's niece. It's Patricia's daughter. Patricia's with us this morning, but we have enjoyed having Amanda with us as well. But we're glad you're with us today, and let's get into the Word of God now and learn some great things that will help us live better lives for God. Now, if you're looking for something to do this afternoon, how about this? Sit down and watch a video of somebody opening a package. Sound enthusiastic, exciting? Well, at first it may not, but I'm talking about a genre of videos that you'll find on YouTube and maybe other media called unboxing videos. For example, one of the newest smartphones, a very popular brand of smartphone, I found that there are several unboxing videos, and each one of them has hundreds of thousands of views. Now, why would that be? Watching somebody open a box? Well, it's a little more than that. It's opening the box, taking it out, here's all the pieces that ought to be in it, here's how to use it, is often part of it. And people that are looking to maybe change to a different kind of phone or whatever the product may be, yeah, that sounds good, they say. I'm going to see what it looks like. Well, so this morning, I'm thinking maybe we need to unbox prayer. Prayer is something most everybody's heard about. We hear about it in virtually any religion, and people that are, even aren't religious sometimes will say, I need your prayers. And so what are we talking about? Do we understand the concept? And so in this lesson this morning, as well as in the lesson this evening, we're going to talk about prayer 101. And that simply suggests we're going to get down to the basics. We're going to talk about some very basic questions about prayer, because the Bible gives us a lot of information, and we need to understand what prayer is all about. And we'll do that by asking four very basic questions. Why, who, what, and when? And we'll be looking at those this morning, and then the what and the when this evening. So I hope you'll jump into this lesson with me. Get your Bible out. Let's all look together in the Word of God and find out what the Lord has shown us about this amazing gift that God has given us. First of all, let's ask the question. Why should prayer be used regularly? Why should prayer be used regularly? Now, when you walk around in the newer part of this building, at least, you're going to notice in a few places there are some red boxes mounted on the wall, and it says, pull this in case of fire. And we do urge you to not pull that unless there's a fire. If there is a fire, yeah, go ahead and pull it. But the point is, there's an emergency. We need to get help quickly, and that is one way that we have to get help quickly. Now, does that describe prayer? Well, it does in a sense. Whenever I am having an emergency in my life, that is a very good place to go. I need to utilize prayer because that's one reason that it's been given to us. But is that the only time when prayer is to be used? And especially when you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, which is a good verse to memorize. Let's see if we can memorize it right now. Pray without ceasing. Can you say that with me? Pray without ceasing. That sounds to me like it's more than just an emergency measure. There are reasons why we need to understand how it can be helpful at all times in our lives, when things are going well and when things are not. Well, why should prayer be important to Christians on a regular basis? Let's begin in Isaiah chapter 7. We're going to look at a couple of examples that may help us to get the idea in our minds. Isaiah chapter 7, we're going to look at verses 10 through 12. Here we're reading about a king named Ahaz, King Ahaz, king of Judah, and he's been looking in other directions for help. He's not really looking toward God, and there is a crisis brewing, and so God sends the prophet Isaiah and says, I want to help you, and here's what we find in Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 12. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. Now think about what God is offering to Ahaz on that occasion. He's saying, I want you to know that I am going to help you if you'll let me. And to prove that, you name your sign. And so if Ahaz had said, okay, I want to see the star in the sky. I want to see it move over to this part of the sky right now. God would have done that because God said, let it be as high as heaven or as deep as Sheol, or if Ahaz had said, let there be a fountain erupt right here in front of us. Though there's not a fountain right now, let it come up out of the ground. I think God would have done that. Because God is saying, ask me, and I will show you I am serious about what I'm talking about, helping you overcome the enemy. But look at how Ahaz responds in verse 12. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. Now that just baffles me, how Ahaz could have done that. I think it means that Ahaz had already made up his mind, I'm going to look somewhere else other than God. I'm going to look to other armies. I'm going to look to other gods. I just don't want to ask God. And so guess what? No sign was given Ahaz. If he had asked, it would have been given. But he didn't ask, and so he didn't get the sign. But then, think about his son. Go to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. His son, Hezekiah, was at this time also facing a crisis. His crisis was regarding his health. Isaiah had already been sent to him by God, and God said, get your house in order, you're not going to recover. And Hezekiah responded the way you and I would. He began weeping and he began praying. He prayed. Did that do any good? Well, read with me Isaiah 38 and verse 5. Go and say, this is God talking to the prophet Isaiah, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, behold, I will add 15 years to your life. Now look at the difference between those two men, a father and a son, both of them facing crises. One of them could have asked God, and God would have given him something very special, but he didn't ask. And yet the son said, I will ask, and look at what happened. His life was extended 15 more years. And so I would say in a nutshell, that says prayer is a very good thing to have available. If we understand what God says about it, if we use it in the way that God says, wow, that can make a difference in a lot of situations in life. Well, let's move on. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was talking in this section about prayer. And I want you to notice just the first few words of this verse, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. In other words, don't just go on jabbering, thinking that the longer prayer wins. No, that's not it at all. But did you see where Jesus said, when you pray? Not if you pray, but when you pray. Here's how to go about it. That sounds to me like Jesus expects his followers to utilize prayer. Does that sound like that to you? When you pray, here's what to keep in mind. And thankfully, Jesus gave a good bit of instruction there. And then when you go to James, the book of James, let's look at that a little bit. And you may remember that most scholars think James was the half-brother of Jesus. For a long time, James and his brothers did not believe in Jesus. And yet later, after his resurrection, they realized this really is the Son of God. But think about all the times that James and his brothers and sisters must have seen Jesus praying. I mean, I'm confident it would have been a lot of times. And listen to what he says about prayer in three different places in this letter. James chapter 1, for example. James 1 verses 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, anybody here ever need wisdom? I notice you don't call me when you do. Smart move. If any of you lacks wisdom, what do? You ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So James says, if you're in a situation where you lack wisdom, what do? You pray. You ask God for that wisdom. And why would you do that? Because God will give it to you. That's what he said. Yesterday, you may remember I sent out a request by email for prayers for people in Russia, Christians in Russia. And a lot of that was based on a meeting I had with my friends that I study with there on a regular basis. They were asking me, what do we do? Do we try to get out of the country right now before civil war erupts? Do we wait it out? What do we do? I said, why don't we get together and pray for God's wisdom? And we did. We prayed for God's wisdom to guide them, as well as other things for God that we would like for him to do. But was that the right thing to do? That was exactly what James is talking about. And maybe you've been at a crossroads in your life. Do I quit this job and try to find a different one? Do I go back to college and earn another degree? Do we have children now or wait a little while? There's all kinds of situations where we need wisdom. Prayer is a tool for just that. But let's go on in James. Go to chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 2. Here's another thing that James says about prayer. He said, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And there, that says something, doesn't it, to Christians? Sometimes we don't have blessings that we might have received because we don't ask. We're not using what God gave us enough. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to get everything we ask for. We know better than that. But sometimes we don't ask, and God would have given it had we asked, like King Ahaz that we noted earlier. So again, that's a good reason to make prayer a regular feature of our lives. And then finally in James chapter 5, look at this idea. James chapter 5 verse 16. And we know this verse very well. We love to go to it when we need help. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. He'd been talking about physical and spiritual illnesses. So that you may be healed, the prayer of a righteous person has great power. Has great power as it is working. So, if I have a tool here that is capable of doing great things, does it make sense that I should use it? Absolutely. And yet, so often, we get distracted, or we think, well, I can take care of this myself. I don't need to bother God. Or for some reason, we just don't pray enough. God made a promise to Israel in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. This was on the occasion of the dedication of the new temple that Solomon had built for God. And he had prayed for God to hear prayers that were offered from that place. And here's how God responded in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, that was a specific statement for a specific occasion, but I find a timeless principle there as well. That's what the Bible says about prayer. If we go to God in accordance with his will and beseech him, ask him for things that we think we need, then God will hear our prayers and God will respond in the best way possible. So the question, why should I even be thinking about prayer? I hope we've answered that now, and I hope we've got your interest up. Well, okay, I really do need to use this more. Let's talk about some other ideas about prayer. And so let's go now to the question, by whom and to whom? By whom are prayers to be offered, and to whom do we pray? Well, first of all, I think the first question is pretty simple and basic. And we'll just address it briefly. We'll do that by going to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. And there's a statement here about God and how he listens and looks down upon people And Peter puts it this way, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So by whom are prayers to be offered? By those who are righteous. By those who are seeking to do the will of God. Now, there is one exception I would make here, and I base that on the example of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He was not yet a Christian, but he was a man that was very determined to do whatever God told him, and God heard his prayer and made it possible for him to know the gospel and to obey the gospel. And I think there are situations like that today where people maybe are not yet followers of Christ, but they want to do what God wants them to do. But for the most part, prayer is a gift for those who follow God, who follow his Son, Jesus Christ. And that applies to most of us here this morning. Not everybody, I'm sad to say, but most of us are followers of Jesus Christ. And so, yes, this is a gift for me to utilize. But let's also ask the question, to whom? To whom should we pray? And, you know, we may think, well, duh, but it's not as duh a question as you might think. There's a lot of different answers that people in the world give to this. We want to know, what does God say? What does the Bible say? And so let's go back again to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, because there Jesus was talking about prayer, and he actually gave his disciples a model of prayer. In fact, when you look at Luke's parallel account in Luke chapter 11 and verse 2, the disciples come up to Jesus and say, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. We want to know, Lord. And so that's when he gives this model prayer. It's not words that we're to recite over and over and over again. I mean, we can if they come from the heart, but it gives us kind of a template. But notice what he says at the beginning of that prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Pray then like this. Now, pay attention to that. Pray like this. And so what does he say at the very beginning? Our Father in heaven. That's who we're addressing when we pray. Our Father in heaven. And Jesus said that is how we are to pray, addressing it to our Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 7, the next chapter, in verse 11. Again, Jesus there is talking about, you know, our prayers and how we're to be, what we're to say, and so forth. And he says this in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And there again, you see, the idea is when I need something, when I need wisdom, when I need improvement in my health, when I need help with my income or whatever it may be, I go to my Father and I ask him. Those are the words of Jesus. But then on the other hand, let's think about the role that Jesus plays in prayer. When you're talking about prayer, you're also talking about Jesus, whether we realize it or not. For example, Romans chapter 8, verse 34, we learn this about Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, another statement of this can be found in Hebrews chapter 7. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, Paul says, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Jesus is interceding for us. What does that mean? He is pleading our case. Think of a trial in a court of law. Our attorney that we have hired or has been appointed for us, they're the ones who are interceding with the judge on our behalf. We don't know what to say exactly. We don't know when to speak, when not to speak. It's better to have somebody that knows. And Jesus is that person. He intercedes for us, Paul says. And then further on that can be found in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, where Paul says, there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, a mediator is somebody that tries to represent both sides. They kind of know something about the employees. They know something about the employers, if we're talking about a labor situation. And Jesus is the only one who has been man in the flesh and has always been God. So who better to be the mediator between God and men? Now, if that be the case, follow this reasoning by Wayne Jackson. You've heard me quote Wayne Jackson many times. He has now gone on, but an amazing scholar. And I agree with him on almost everything he's written. He wrote an article entitled, "May a Christian Address Christ in Praise or Prayer?" And here's part of what he said. "If a mediator is functioning on my behalf with another party, may I not communicate with the mediator personally? If not, of what significance is the term mediator?" And then he went on to say, there are at least 12 examples of prayers to Christ. There are at least 12 examples of prayers to Christ in the New Testament. And so what he was saying is, if we wish to address Christ personally in our prayers, there is biblical precedent for that. He is, after all, our mediator, the one who intercedes for us. And then he also mentioned in that article, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. And let's just notice that very quickly. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. This is one of those passages where prayer is addressed to Christ. "To the church of God that is at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours." What was he saying? There are Christians all over the world who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are other places like that. You may remember Stephen as he was about to die by being stoned by those Jews. And he looked up and he cried out, "Lord Jesus, don't lay this against their charge." And so the idea is there are times we may want to address Jesus in our prayers. J.W. Shepherd, writing in the Gospel Advocate New Testament Commentary, says this. He said, let me find it here. To call upon is to invoke his aid. To call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord is to invoke his aid as the Christ, the Messiah. Now, I do suggest that the Father is still the primary focus of our prayers. That's how Jesus put it. When you pray, always begin, it seems like he is saying, "Our Father in heaven." But there are times when we may want to address Jesus personally in our prayers. And while that may strike some as strange, again, there is biblical precedent for that. And I think we need to take that into account. But overall, here's the point. In the law of Moses, not just anybody could enter into the presence of God. It had to be one of the male descendants of Aaron. Aaron was a Levite, but not all Levites were descendants of Aaron. And so if you wanted to enter into the presence of God in the temple, to go close to the sanctuary, you had to be in that category. And that left a lot of people out. But under the covenant in which we serve God, the covenant of Christ, anybody is welcome to come into the presence of God and to address him. Is that not amazing? Does that not make you want to say, "Thank you, Lord"? Because we get to speak to God himself without any interference, without appointments, without him being on vacation. He's always there. What a wonderful, wonderful gift we have been given. Let's look finally at Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. And this is to address the idea that, well, okay, prayer, sometimes I think of it, a lot of times I don't. Is that a problem we struggle with? Here's what Jesus says, and this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember. Jesus knows his hour has come. They're coming very soon to arrest him, and thus begin that long ordeal of the Passion. And while his disciples are there with him, Peter, James, and John, very close to him, here's what he says to them. Matthew 26, verse 41, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." What do you get from that verse? Does it mean anything to you personally? I hope it does. That's why it was recorded. That's why we read it today. It tells me that, yeah, I really want to serve the Lord. But, you know, I'll pray when I think about it. It's not like I'm going to make an appointment every day to go to God in prayer. Jesus said, by watching and praying, we are less likely to enter into temptation. I need that kind of help because I never know when temptation is going to spring up and capture me and drag me into some sin. Jesus said, this is your ability to try to prevent that, and prayer is effective. Remember what we saw in James chapter 5? Prayer is powerful. And when we use it as a way of saying, Lord, I want to be stronger. I want to be more spiritually minded. I want to be purer in heart. Just imagine what that could mean for us. So here's my question for you. Is prayer still in the box? As a Christian, you were given this gift. Have you unboxed it? Are you using it? Or have you come to know its many capabilities? I mean, do you have a smartphone and all you do with it is make a phone call? Come on. There's a whole lot more things you can do with a smartphone, but not until you know what it can do. Prayer is such a valuable tool. Christians, we need to use it regularly, knowing that it's powerful. If you're not a Christian this morning, we'd love for you to be able to join us in using this gift of prayer. We use it for one another. We use it for others around us. We use it for a lot of things. Now you can be able to use it as well if you'll obey the gospel and become a child of God. Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? And if you can say to that, yes, I do. I've seen the evidence in the Bible. I really do believe he is God's Son. Then are you ready today to turn away from sin, repenting of it, to confess him before others, and then be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? It takes moments to do those things. But what a gift. What a gift you'll receive. Forgiveness of sins, the hope of heaven after this life, a fellowship with a family of God, and prayer. We'd love for you to be able to enjoy that gift. And if you've done that, and yet you've wandered back into sin, you've not been living the life God wants you to live, it's time to come home. And let's pray together. Let's encourage one another. If we can help you in any way, come as we stand and sing.
Would you be free from your burden? Be number 373, a hill called Mount Calvary. Let us sing.
There are things that we travel this search to be sent.
Break it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we're thankful for this opportunity to follow your commands and do those things that the first church did, that your church continues to do. Help us, dear God, to forever sustain this institution and take it in a manner that is well-pleasing, that it may indeed be worship. This prayer we offer up to you in Christ's name. Amen. Continuing in Mark with verses 23 through 24, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks,
He gave it to him, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Let us pray. Our Father, again in like manner we come to you, acknowledging, dear God, that the precious blood of Christ is what buys salvation and pardons for sins, and that we could never merit what's been done on our behalf, on our own. But through him, we do have the opportunity to find salvation, not only in the after while, but right now. We thank you for this reminder, and for making it a portion of worship. Help us to do this in a pleasing manner. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This being a convenient time to receive our offerings, let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the blessings that you have given us, our abilities, that you've given us the opportunities to go out, earn a living for ourselves, to provide for our families, dear God, to provide for the work that this church is involved in. We pray your blessings upon the gift and upon the giver. We ask, dear God, for wisdom and distribution, that much good will be accomplished through the sacrifices that are made through these offerings. This prayer we offer in Christ's name. Amen.
Certainly, it's been great to worship with you here today, and we hope that you will come back tonight and worship again tonight with us, whether it's indoor or outdoor. We look forward to seeing each one of you and hope you can make it back. If you would, let's stand together and we'll sing There's Something About That Name in our closing hymn. And then
we're so blessed to be together this morning in your presence. We're so blessed by this opportunity of prayer, and we're thankful for the reminder of what a blessed moment it is but also the reminder that it's not something that we simply do on occasions, but it's an identifying trait of who we are, an essential part of the way we carry our lives. A regular feature is life with you and communicating with you, Father. And I pray we never neglect our life with you from prayer. Father, we have so many on our prayer list today. Some are struggling, some have reason for rejoice, and we lift all of them up to you as we share in their rejoicing, but also as we share in their concerns. And Father, we ask your blessings on all. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you please be seated? I do have several announcements this morning. Please remember to pick up your communion cups and throw them away as you leave the auditorium. If the weather permits, we will again worship outdoors this evening at 6 p.m. Bring your own chairs or blankets, or worship from inside your vehicle. Watch for an email this afternoon to know if we'll be outdoors or not. If so, the songs will be included in the email. All ladies are invited to a baby shower for Tommy, Jordan, and baby girl Javier today from 4 to 5:30 in the downstairs fellowship area. Tommy and Jordan are registered at Amazon. The Digging Deep Ladies Bible Discussion Group will meet in the downstairs fellowship area tomorrow, Monday, June 26th. Dorcas Group will meet Wednesday, June 28th at 1 p.m. Teens and young families are invited for food, fun, and fireworks at Central on Monday, July 3rd at 7 p.m. Hot dogs and burgers will be provided. Bring your favorite drink and side or dessert. The fireworks begin at 9:55 p.m. Attention, bakers, the snacks for VBS on Sunday, July 9th in the evening is homemade cookies. Please leave them downstairs Sunday morning if possible. We need enough cookies for children and adults for refreshments on Sunday evening. We have this announcement, which is an occasion for rejoicing. This past Tuesday evening, Owen Bannister, who is the grandson of John and Carlene Bannister, was baptized into Christ. This was at Carnes in Knoxville, and he was baptized by his father. So congratulations to Owen and also grandparents John and Carlene. We also have this thank you card. Dear Central, we would like to thank everyone for our graduation baskets. We really do appreciate all of the help, gift cards, and gifts. We would also like to thank everyone for being so kind and welcoming. We love coming to Central as often as we can. Love, Dessel and Peyton. And then we do have these on our prayer list. Lee Moss, who is the cousin of Luann Hoylman, is scheduled for surgery this coming Tuesday. A glioblastoma was discovered recently. And Jackson, who is the nephew of Amy Norris Friend, has been sent to Knoxville following a seizure he suffered on Friday after undergoing a tonsillectomy. And prayers have been requested. And now Randy Brewer has an announcement.
Save the date. Saturday, August the 5th, we'll be having our 8th annual Mountain Empire Men's Fellowship, and we'd like to invite all men in the congregation and those that you might be associated with. No, we're not going to be celebrating baseball, but we're going to be celebrating our time together with fellowship. We have a lineup of great speakers and relevant topics, and we invite you to come and be with us, and also bring someone. That's Saturday, August the 5th, from 8 to 3. Food will be provided. As if you've been there before, you know this. Great food and fellowship. We would encourage you to come and visit with us. Now, Brother Russell.
I've just been handed this announcement, and we want to make sure that everybody, even those who don't get the daily focus, hear about this. Kim Bacon, Jerry's sister-in-law, is going to her specialist this Thursday to discuss further treatment for a growth in her liver. If you wouldn't mind, says please add her, and by all means we will, to the prayer list. So we want to remember Kim Bacon, Jerry's sister-in-law. Are there any other announcements? Now you're dismissed.